Hi.
Hi.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Good. Hi. Hi. How are you? Hi.
Sorry.
Welcome.
thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I'm very glad to have you here in my little wicked wardrobe to sit down and have a chat with me. So what should I call you? I see your username as Fishy, but I also see you go by Ryan. What would you prefer and why?
Could you...
I'm keen to know.
Please, as a personal favor, call me Ryan. I hate my username. Yeah. My username wasn't constructed for GWA. It wasn't constructed to be seen by anybody. I just wanted an account to enjoy some outrage porn that you find on subreddits like Petty Revenge and Malicious Compliance. And so I didn't really think too much about, you know, what I would call myself. And I signed up for that account in March, which is Pisces month. And Fishy, without the J, is Pisces in German. So
yeah,
that's what I went with without any thought or concern. And now I regret it every day.
Oh, no, because you've developed your profile and you've created content.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, Ryan, it
Thank
is.
You.
Ryan, it is. That's really interesting. So the German aspect, or the German spelling of Fishy without the J. So I noticed, getting around some of your content that you've created. First of all, what is your primary form of content that you contribute to this naughty audio space?
I mean, I do both writing and recording, but I think of myself as a writer. I only started recording because it was suggested to me that I would be a better writer if I knew what it was like to record, which I think is actually fair and true. But of course, because it's an audio space, GWA is an audio space, people, you know, gravitate to the audio. And so I think most of the people that follow me are more interested in my recording work than in my writing. But still, I like to think I'm a writer.
Right. That's it. That's your primary focus, or that's your preferred sort of space to occupy and contribute content?
It's my preferred space. I probably at this point am putting out more audio. Your audio is much quicker, especially if you're not writing it yourself. Yeah. So you can, you know, you can get out more content more quickly, but I put more energy and focus into the writing. The recording is just a bit of fun.
It is fun. It's an immense amount of fun, I think.
Yeah,
I love it. And I think that's how I discovered you is through your writing and recorded. I think I've done a couple of your scripts now.
I think you have. And
you're very generous and very generous enough to sit down with me and write something bespoke, which was that was quite thrilling, I must say. And I'm glad that one is out there and the general community now for other people to record. I hope you hear other versions of it. How did you get into this space? You mentioned before outrage porn. This is new for me. Can you explain that to me?
Oh, well, Reddit has some extremely popular subreddits where people tell stories, safe for work stories generally, about the horrible things that have happened to them in their day-to-day life, dealing with terrible customers or dealing with entitled parents or dealing with institutions that, you know, make you want to tear your hair out. I just call it outrage porn because I sort of enjoy the vicarious thrill of, you know, revenge against the cable company or revenge against the terrible boss. You know, I can't get enough of it, actually. So,
oh, there's no judgment here. Yeah, I could see the satisfaction in that. Yeah, that makes sense.
But GWA, I've actually been engaged with for a ridiculously long time, like maybe 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know. I've been listening to GWA. I used to listen on Literotica. And I know that you're friends with Eve's Garden, who's been publishing on GWA for, gosh, maybe coming up on a decade. Well, she also published on Literotica, her audio work, and at some point I followed her across. and listened for a long time.
Right.
It just never occurred to me, Wicked, that I would be able to participate in any kind of way. So that only, yeah, that only happened maybe 6 months ago that it occurred to me, well, maybe I could, you know, give back in some way or participate in some way. And I listened for years and years and years without ever even occurring to me that that would be possible.
Hey, I could do this.
Exactly.
Yeah, and in terms of that, you mean writing initially and just only recently beginning to record?
Yeah, I think I started recording maybe a month after I started publishing writing. I wrote for maybe three or 4 months before I submitted anything. But then once I submitted and started talking to VAs about filling things, the advice I got was you should really try recording. So I did.
Wow, brilliant. I love that you did. I very much enjoy your audio content.
Oh, thank you.
And I, for people who haven't heard you, what sort of content, like audio content, if we're focusing on that at the moment, do you put out there? Is it not safe for work? Is it safe for work? Are there particular genres or kinks that you are more comfortable with, or you know you find suit you, or you know resonate with you?
It's all so far been not safe for work. I have recorded one safe for work thing, but it was a flip, and I'm still waiting for the author to get back to me on whether or not it would be acceptable to publish it. So it's just sitting on my computer.
Okay. Yeah.
But generally, it's been not safe for work because that's what I write, and so I wanted to figure out how it worked.
Yeah. And with the same for your writing, you approach that in it's primarily not safe for work scripts that you're writing?
Yeah, there is a difference, though, between my writing and recording. I tend to explore more different kinds of things in the writing. So I'll write a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I write plenty of vanilla-ish, kink-free, or what I like to think of as spicy vanilla scripts, but I also write some more extreme things. I tend to shy away from recording them, though.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Mostly because I don't think my voice is suited to a lot of the more extreme kinds of things that are popular on GWA. I have a pretty soft voice, not a very deep voice, and it seems to suit more vanilla work. And honestly, although I can write all kinds of things, I really enjoy writing. I think unlike a lot of other writers on GWA, I like writing things that really aren't my kinks. I don't know. I find it really fascinating to write for characters that are nothing like me. But the audio content that I consume and that I'm interested in making as a recording person, as a performer, I guess you call it, tends to be more vanilla-ish, more, you know, loving, comforting. I call it consensual sensual.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I really like that. That's a great way to put it. I find that really interesting that your creative outlet in terms of writing would explore, you know, things that you aren't naturally sitting with comfortably or feel that you have the capacity to sort of fulfill yourself. But what a great way to still explore and create content for something that, you know, you won't feel, but We'd love to hear someone, perhaps somebody like you mentioned, with a deeper voice or you know, with a bit more of a firm approach. Or I don't know. I get what you're saying, though, in terms of, you know, what's suitable or what you and also what you find comfortable with that. So you've been kicking around for a fair while then. But as a listener, I think ultimately we're all listeners.
Right.
We all arrived in this space as listeners, didn't we? Well, I think so. I would assume so. How has the response been to your audio work? I mean, obviously, I know how your scripts are received, but were people surprised that, hey, that's that writer guy? How come he's recording now? How's the response been for you?
I mean, I think, Wicked, that the way I see it, people don't really pay a lot of attention to writers. I mean, general listeners don't pay a lot of attention to writers, or unless,
Agreed.
You know, occasionally, and as a listener myself, there was, you know, the few and far between, I would notice that I'd heard a couple things I really liked that were written by the same person, and then I would do a deep dive and figure out who else had recorded their stuff and look at what they'd made. But generally, I think your general listener isn't paying that much attention to who's doing the writing, which is fine. It's an audio space. I'm not saying that out of jealousy or anything.
Yeah.
Or irritation. But
I think it's the reality of
it. So for that reason, I don't think anybody was like, oh, there's a writer recording. I got a few other writers and a few performers. They tend to pay more attention, who said, I got a couple comments like, oh, I've noticed a trend now. A lot more writers are recording, and I think it's great. I also think it's great, by the way. And I've also noticed more writers trying out recording, and I do think it's good. I think you get stronger material that way. I mean, having listened for at least 5 and probably more years, I will tell you that my observation is that the quality and diversity, the scope, the ambition of audio work on GWA has really grown. It's amazing to see.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff on GWA, and you still get, you know, every day and tons of people enjoying very simple ramble faps or whatever. But more and more I'm seeing ambitious projects, audiobook style projects, movie style projects that really just blow my mind. And that's what attracted me to trying to do this, to participate in the first place. There were people putting out things that were like, that could be professional. That's next level. I wanna have a part of that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that word professional, because, you know, GWA, it's underlying, not context, but the space has been created for amateurs, and I do have to wonder sometimes when I hear the production quality and, you know, the sheer magnitude of some of these audios that are released, and I just think, you're doing this as an amateur?
Yeah, right.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And look, I'm glad that your stuff is here and I can hear it. But you ain't no amateur, you know?
So,
it does amaze me. I think that maybe that needs to be reviewed.
We have a pro-am circuit on GWA now. The semi-professionals.
Very much. Right? Yeah, very much so. I was doing an interview yesterday, was having a chat with someone yesterday, just saying, you know, I just talk on my phone. And then there are other creators that, you know, have home studios and, you know, multiple microphones and, you know, have professional editing done and, you know, have 800 subscribers on Patreon. Or, do you know what I mean?
Yes,
there's that sort of extreme in the gamut of creative content that's out there. So yeah, I just feel like a little fish in a big pond, which is fine. I guess it depends on what your motivation is for being here and contributing, right?
Exactly. So I absolutely agree with you. I know for me, for example, I have zero interest in monetizing, for example. I'm for sure never going to have a Patreon. It's just, that's not what I'm here for. But I have no objections to the people that do. I mean, people need to make a living. This takes work. It takes money, actually. You have to buy material.
Yeah.
It takes time. I think that's probably, at least for me, the most costly part of it. It just takes time away from other things.
Yeah.
And so for people to want to be compensated for it, I think it's absolutely reasonable. It's just not what I'm here for.
Yeah. So for you, it's partly giving back to the community and contributing, but also a creative outlet?
I think mostly a creative outlet. I mean, before I started writing for GWA, it had been literal decades since I wrote anything. I don't have a creative...
Do you have that background?
I don't have a creative background at all. I think the first thing I've written and published was on GWA, and aside from 2 stories now on Literotica, I haven't ever written or published anything anywhere else. I have a very mathy job. I write a ton, but it's all policy and statistics, and I just don't have that kind of creative outlet, at least in terms of, you know, arts in my life. So this has been, like, at the beginning, it was like a floodgate. It was unbelievable how exciting and how passionate I felt about it. I think I've chilled out a bit, which is probably healthy, but I still really love the creative balance. Side. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with that, how did it feel the first time one of your scripts was filled and you heard your words being brought to life by somebody else?
Oh my God. Excruciating. I regret.
Really?
Yeah. I've also chilled out about this, but it was that the fill was amazing. And it was, this, I think the first one that got recorded, as far as I remember, was probably my favorite one to date that I've written. And it's a beautiful story, and a bit weepy, which is not typical for GWA. Yeah. But, you know, just I didn't know what I was doing when I was writing for audio recording. And so just regretting, when I heard it, my instant feeling was regretting, oh, I wish I'd done this differently, I wish I'd done that differently. All wow. credit to the VA who did it, who's amazing. She did an amazing, amazing job, and it's beautiful. I still listen to it from time to time. But
oh, that's lovely. Yeah, but, wow, okay.
But, you know, I tortured myself a bit at the time. Like, I should have thought things through better. I should have thought about how these words or those words would work when you speak them. And that was really one of the first people I talked to, performers I talked to about filling a script, is Elle, who records under Listen to My Voice. Yes. And she spent a ton of time with me, yes. very, very generously, helping me figure out how to write for audio, editing stuff for me. I mean, extremely generous. And she was the person That's who wonderful. Pushed me to record just for this reason. Like, if you don't record your writing, even just for yourself to hear, you won't understand how the pauses are supposed to work, how contractions versus full written out words sound when they come out of your mouth, what it sounds like to actually yes. speak dialogue as opposed to read it. And I think that was the reason she wanted me to do it, and it has worked out really well for me, I hope.
Yeah, well, I that's what a wonderful supportive environment to be in. I'm hearing that a lot throughout this sort of little interview series of people, creators talking about their interactions with other creators when they first began in this space, and the immense amount of support and encouragement. And it's small things, right? Something as simple as what Elle has asked, you know, suggested you do, has, I would imagine, changed the way you write. And heavily influenced that, recording your own work. Would that be right?
I hope it's okay to tell a little story about an interaction I had with you.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Sure, yeah.
So,
yeah.
One of the...
Hang on now. I'm thinking back. My mind's racing. Hang on now. Yeah, go by all means.
Well, I just remember talking with you maybe a month or two ago and mm-hmm. expressing how, you know, it's very difficult for me to feel valid interacting with performers, especially performers that are established or well listened to. And you said to me in your very wicked voice, honey, we're all just people. And I really took that away with me, because it's true. And now that I'm a little bit more established, I get, you know, I interact with newer writers or newer performers who express similar feelings to the ones that I express to you. And I always, you know, I say the same thing to them, you know, we're all just people. Everybody here is passionate about I hesitate to say art form, but everybody here is passionate about audio smut.
About the space that we're in, right? Yeah.
And we all want the same things. And you hear it over and over again when you talk to people, how amazed they are at how well supported they feel by the community. And that's what's great about the space.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I'm glad that, you know, there was some sort of takeaway, because I do tend to bang on a bit. but I, the last thing I want, though, is that I'm not comfortable with being put on any sort of pedestal or, you know, made out to be something that I don't feel I am. I just want to moan into a mic.
I hear you.
You know, and share
it. Yeah, I hear you.
And make people feel good, potentially, you know. And so I don't think there's anything particularly special about what I do. If anything, it's not altruistic what I'm doing, or I don't think we're all here for, you know, to feel good, I would hope, on some level. But I'm finding more and more the comments and messages I get from listeners, at least, you know, just I felt connected to that, or I felt heard, or I felt seen, or I felt acknowledged, or I felt as though you really cared about, you
Isn't
know,
that beautiful?
What's going on, or comforted. Mm. So, yeah.
I love it.
It's a privilege, I think, to be in that position, or to have, I think, for me, it's partly sort of giving back, but to think that, you know, somebody might feel, like actually physically feel something or emotionally feel something if by listening to me, you know, talking to my very shiny mic, then yay, that's a win-win, because I get to express myself both, you know, creatively and sexually. It's an outlet for me. And if someone feels good about it, then that's a win-win as far as I'm concerned. So I but also, yeah, likewise, feel so supported by the creator community, which is something I didn't even anticipate or think that could be or would be a side benefit of contributing to this space.
Right.
Were you surprised when Elle, you know, just generously, you know, guided you, gave you time, mentored you, however you want to phrase it?
I think surprised would be an understatement. I was overwhelmed with gratitude, yeah. And, you know, it was wholly unexpected, yeah. That anybody would take the time to care to help me figure out how to be better. Yeah. You know, although I do owe her a ton, but she's not, I wouldn't say she's the only one. I have a number of people that have really supported and cared for me. I have friends that I've made that I spend time with, you know, on an almost daily basis through GWA.
Yeah.
None of which I considered as a possibility, anticipated before I started. So it's brought a lot. I think, you know, people that gravitate towards creating on GWA, I've noticed, and it's mm-hmm. true for me as much as others. You know, I think we're probably not your average person. A lot of us have health issues, mental health issues, physical health issues, things that make us or push us to seek creative outlet, yeah. That's, you know, maybe not typical in the world at large. So I guess on reflection, yeah. It's not surprising that we would understand each other well, or find people that
there'd
we could identify
an underlying
with.
Empathy
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we're all, I would, and this could be an awful generalization, but I think we're all vulnerable on some level in this space, because it's a very intimate, you know, subject that we're exploring and creating about, and incredibly personal, and for people to be open about it, I'm like, have at it, just get it out there.
Totally.
You know, that's actually something I wanted to ask you. Do your your real world people, for want of a better term, whether your friends, family, are they aware of what you do in this space?
So absolutely, my friends and my wider family are not aware of what I do, and I hope to God they never become aware. I'm not sure I could take that. I have a partner. She's aware.
Yeah.
She's not engaged in any way with it. She doesn't read mm-hmm. it. She doesn't listen to it. But it's not a secret. Sure. So I also am a person that has children, and again, I hope to God that they never become aware. That would just be the worst.
You do not need to hear your father
no.
saying or doing anything other
yes.
of the like in this
yeah.
space.
Yeah, so generally no. And actually, I'm a bit regretful in some ways that is the way that it is, because I have written, certainly not everything I've written, but I have written a few things that I'm extremely proud of that I wish I could share. But I can't.
Yeah.
So maybe right. we'll try writing something more safe for work at some point. It's weird that I jumped right in with not safe for work. It never even occurred to me to write anything, you know, that was safe for work. But maybe one day.
Right. Yeah, that could be a sort of easing into, oh, this is kind of what I do. Yeah, interesting. I'm quite open with my friends and family.
I know you
I
are.
told my dad
Wow.
recently, and he's like, yeah, cool. I'm like, you can never listen, Dad. You know that, right? You can never listen. But, I'm not even going to tell you what my name is. But yeah, I find it quite empowering, and I actually told my accountant the other day, and she was, but you do what now? You're what? Oh no! And it's funny to me because that whole not safe for work thing. I say, well, I record not safe for work audio voice, overtype stuff. She said, well, what does that mean? I was like, so I really had to explain it
Oh
to
my
her.
God.
She was like, oh, okay, right. And what's your username? I said, look, I'll send you a link. Here you go. Just our next face-to-face meeting might be a little bit different.
You're
maybe I'll go in with a,
so brave.
how
I
you
could
doing?
never have that conversation with anyone.
Let alone your
No.
accountant.
Oh my God.
Yeah, really. I was just because I didn't know about erotic audio until maybe 18 months ago, and I felt quite ripped off that, I said to a couple of my female friends, my closest friends, went, "Hey, do you know about this audio porn? Do you know about this?" And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Bitch, please. Why didn't you tell me?" It's like, "What?" So yeah, I tell everybody. I tell everyone, just like, get a load of this. You gotta get this in your ears. And I get that it doesn't work for everybody. But audio clearly works for me. I dig it, the sound of people's voices. I think everybody in this space has a voice kink, clearly,
For
right?
sure. Oh God, I don't even know how to address this. I suspected for a long time that I was weird, but now I've heard it from other people too, so I know it's not just me. I don't actually, I listen to a lot of audio content on GWA. I don't actually really listen to it to get off. It's not that it's not arousing, it's totally arousing. I'm a terrible sleeper. I spend a lot of time at night listening to it when I'm not sleeping. And I'll also just put it on in the background while I'm working or while I'm out, while I'm exercising, while I'm shopping. So not like spaces where you're trying to get excited, but I just find it completely relaxing and I don't know how to put it. It's a really peaceful experience for me in a lot of ways. And I know that an audio, it's probably Pavlovian. I know when an audio is like really, really working for me. If my eyes get heavy and I start to get droopy, I space out a bit. Then I'm like, oh,
You're
this is a
really,
keeper.
yeah, you're in a calm
Yeah,
space. Everything is good.
exactly.
Yeah, I get like that too, because I often listen to when I first started listening as a listener.
Yeah.
I've said before, I used to cycle in two. I had two sets of earbuds, and I used to just cycle those suckers. I just like I had a pair in while another pair was
Totally.
charging, and it's like as soon as they were flat, I just like swap them out, and because I felt like I kind of logged out of my life for a good three solid 3 months. Then I just said to my family, "She'll get, I'm offline for now. All right, if I don't answer you, I've got earbuds in, so you can. I'm listening to something." But I find it so not always. I'm not always in it for the arousal. I do find it calming, and it's almost got, I don't know, a bit of a meditative effect
Totally.
sometimes for me, particularly AMAs. And
I
I'm
love
interested to
AMAs.
hear. You're right.
Love them so
Yeah,
much.
so do I. Oh, I love hearing, what, and I think that's probably what's prompted me to do this, and doing some collaborations recently. I was talking with some fellow content creators, and it was the time between us doing the recording takes. It was those moments, those 3 or 4 minutes of us just chatting and banging on about, just like, oh my God, and then this happened and this happened. It's like, and do you do this, and did you get, oh, did you see that, that sort of thing. It was that sort of interaction that I appreciated most. I said, we should record this, we should record the bits in the middle just to keep it
Right,
running
right.
and put it together, because, and that's what has prompted this. Get in my
Love
ears,
it.
Ryan. I should change that to Ryan, because I think I've got you under my my profile there is fishy.
It's not
at the
a problem.
So I'll change that. but yeah, I love that. I totally get where you're coming from in terms of just enjoying the voice.
Yeah, I listened to one last night. I listened to Kissa Cozy, who's a Danish female VA, do her AMA.
Okay.
And I just blissed out. It was sadly short. It was like 25 minutes, but I just completely blissed out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I just love them so much.
We want
I know.
More. We want more, Kissa
Come on,
Cozy.
Kissa, give us more.
Yeah. Yeah, just gimme. Get in my ears. Gimme. That whole, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I'm wondering then, so with regards to what you listen to or the type of content, has that changed since you started writing or recording, you know, as a long-term listener?
So one thing I've noticed, and it's not universally true, so please save your angry letters, but most people...
Don't at
yeah,
me.
Most people that write tend to write what they want to hear. So they will write for the opposite gender.
Sure.
So men will write female for male. Women will write male for female. I started writing female for male. I think my first four or five scripts were female for male. But at some point, I thought I really need to, because, you know, I'm not just in it to hear things I want to hear. I'm in it to try to create things. I thought I better start writing some male for female, which I have done. I even did one female for female. And so I felt like I had to listen to some male for female because I'd never, listening for 7 years, I don't think I'd ever listened to a male for female audio. So I listen much more broadly now to things on GWA.
Yeah.
Call it research, call it interest, whatever. I listen to a lot of stuff that I wouldn't, you know, just pick for myself as like a hobbyist listener. So for sure, I'm listening to a lot more.
And therefore, you know, branching out and creating on a broader scope, you know, on a broader range.
I hope so. You know.
Yeah.
They're just all silly stories, but I really enjoy absurd things. And so I probably would have sought them out anyway, but I definitely, you know, anything that's tagged a shitpost or anything that looks like it's an absurd style of story, you know. I have a ridiculously large saved Reddit folder of things that I need to listen to eventually every time I see something.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do too.
My saved folder on Reddit is primarily scripts. I think I've got about close to 50 there, sitting there just waiting. But then I'll see something... and this is, I'm finding, the more I talk with other creators, this is fairly common. I see a script offer come up and I'm like, ooh, I've got to say it. I've got to do it. I want to record it now. And I mentioned to someone yesterday, I literally woke up one morning, checked my phone, saw a script offer out there and got out of bed and pretty much ran to my little wicked wardrobe and recorded it. And within an hour of it being posted, offered, I'd recorded it and I uploaded that and I posted it because I was just like, I've got to get this out of me. It resonated with me so inherently that I was just like, oh, I've just got to do it. So yeah, coming across those scripts, those shiny new ones that come out pretty regularly, we are so spoiled as me as a voice artist seems a bit of a stretch, but actor, I don't know. As someone who speaks into a microphone, I think we are very, very spoilt for choice, and there is so much amazing content, scripts on offer out there. I struggle with the due recognition not being given to script writers. And like you said, yes, this is an audio space, but as a person who talks into a microphone, I want to acknowledge and profile and lift up and praise the script writers and the editors in this space. And that's a big part of the reasoning for doing this little get in my ears situation, to give writers and editors, you know, the quiet achievers behind the VAs whom I own into their mics, some sort of due recognition and acknowledgement and kudos and praise, and like thank God for you. And I know not everybody does script fills. I am, other than a ramble fat, because, you know, you can't script that shit. I find I am incomplete. My gratitude for script writers is just beyond.
I think that's lovely. I don't think it takes very much. Not all performers know that you don't get notified of tags in the body of posts. So tagging the scriptwriter in the comment of your fill. I have done some fills. I have mostly done improvs or filled my own things, but I've done a fair number of fills anyway. I try to remember to tag the writer in the comment. I try to remember to tag the writer in their post of the script. And when people comment and tell me that they thought it was, you know, beautifully written, or, you know, the story was beautiful, or they really liked this aspect or that aspect of the character, I make an effort to, you know, acknowledge that the words, that the idea of the story were somebody else's. And I think that's about all it takes. I'm extremely gratified when people do that for me.
It's such a small thing to do, but yes, I'm the same. I find that just acknowledging that person. But yes, when I get a comment as the script filler, I just say, well, you know, not my words. It's you know, this person's words or this user's words, and like, aren't they incredible? I feel privileged to be able to attempt to bring it to life.
I also try when I'm commenting on other people's work. One of the weird anxiety things that I have is that I listened for ages and never commented on anything. I just didn't feel like I had a place. Like, I know it's ridiculous.
Oh.
I know it's ridiculous, but setting that aside, before I started creating, I just didn't feel like I had a valid perspective to comment on content. And so that's something I've really tried to correct in the last 3 or 4 months as I've participated actively, to be more active about commenting on people's things. And one of the things I always try to remember to do is when I like something and I want to comment on it, if it's been a fill, I will always acknowledge the writing. Or I'll try to always acknowledge the writing. Because it's half of the effort.
Yeah, right. Entirely. I get what you're saying. I do lean towards it. Well, I have a few standard, few regular script writers whose work I often go back to. But I know they've said to me when I've posted something, and, you know, if somebody's commented and acknowledged them, they've said to me, privately, just like, oh, it's so nice that, you know, that comment about, you know, them thanking me for writing the script. I was like, well, they bloody should, is kind of how I think about it.
Oh, it's really appreciated.
But for me, and I know for those who do improvs and do original content and that sort of thing, I admire that skill so much. It's something I'm trying to work on. It's more a confidence thing for me, that. But I forget where I was going with that.
I don't know. It's okay.
I've drawn a blank. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Just know that it's appreciated. It's
like something. A shiny script offer just popped across my screen. I love it. I'm so appreciative of the creators in that space. And then there's the editors. Because I don't edit, I hadn't had a lot to do with editors until I started doing collaborations, and the things they can do. But also, people who edit themselves, it's like, wow. It's a whole skill set that I don't have. I'm learning. I'm taking baby steps, but also I don't listen to myself, so I'm again taking baby steps with that. Do you, with your audio work, do you edit? Do you add in sound effects? What's your sort of process there?
So 90, 75, 80, 90% of what I put out, I really make an effort to make it immersive. So I will clear out.
Can you just repeat that? that.
Sorry, I make an effort to make the audios that I record immersive, by which I mean I will do a lot of editing. I mean, there are people that do much more and much more sophisticated editing than me because I'm a complete novice at it. I didn't know anything about working with editing software before the first audio that I recorded. But I will clear out all the noise, all the background noise. I will add new background noise if it's appropriate. I love music, so I try to find ways to incorporate music, although a lot of my time is then spent looking for copyright-free music, which is painful. And I will add sound effects where I can to make it as immersive as possible. There's people that do it better, but I do it to the best of my ability. And the audios that tend to get the best response for whatever reason also happened generally to be the most most edited, the most effect laden, the most you know, the most additional audio content aside from my voice. I don't know if that's because people don't love my voice or because they just like the feeling of falling into the audio.
Right. Okay. Really interesting. Because I don't edit. Oh, one time I put like an audio track behind, I don't know, the orgasm spa, or I did like two spa treatments as part of a bigger project.
Yeah.
And I added in some, you know, sanctuary type music in the background, and people were like, "Oh yeah, that was good.
Know that I'm
like, oh, don't get too excited.
You know that I know that audio. Like, you're not talking about an audio I have no idea about. I'm very familiar with that audio."
Okay, all right, yeah, okay. That's not weird at all. I'm not blushing.
And I think I told you at the time you published it that I could just listen to you say the word water over and over again and I'd be completely happy.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay, all right. I'm not embarrassed at all. I think maybe I've got two or three. I think there's another. I did a yoga one. A meditative type one, and I enjoy that.
The other thing, I know the other thing that I like about that audio so much, is that it's an old script. I love it when people go and farm out old content. It's something
that I
heard when it was originally published, 5 years ago?
Heard other people do. You're right.
And so I was so excited to see something that I had enjoyed and loved and listened to many times before in a new context. So that's, I was really excited actually when you made that. I'd heard you before, but I was really excited to see that piece in particular.
Oh, I love searching back through Script Guild or wherever to find older scripts. I adore doing that. I've actually had to stop myself from doing it because, like I said, I've got probably close to 50 scripts there. I said, just stop it, Wicked. Stop looking for scripts. You've got plenty on your slate. But I'm so glad you heard that, you know, the original, the first time around.
Definitely heard it at least one other time. Who was the writer for that?
I will tell you momentarily. Let me go to my little archive and have a look-see. But yes, because I was doing a bigger project there as
that's right.
Mansion of Hermitites, I think it was Orgasm Spa. And you could book another treatment. Okay, script fill, here we go. Who did it? Only GWA or GWA count, basically. And I didn't realize that particular script writer had been around for some time as well, but kudos to the long-term players in this space, because it is a fairly transitional space,
right? I think the typical performer is like 6 months, and I don't know about writers, but they generally don't, you know, last more than a year as far as I can tell. So the people that are around for a long time, that's really something.
I really respect and admire that. Just remaining in the space, and it's changed. I have, and I guess everything's going to evolve. What are we approaching? Nearly 800,000 on GWA.
Isn't that crazy?
Of course, it's going to evolve and change, and obviously with the pandemic and the people feeling isolated and probably getting the listenership is obviously growing exponentially, it would seem. But yeah, it's likewise with performers and creators. It just seems like every other day there's, you know, a large number of new creators out there, which is exciting for me. I love listening to verification audios. Do you?
I very rarely listen to verifications. Do you listen to those? Yeah. I've listened to a few. Sometimes if somebody's recorded something that I really like and I'll go back through their archive and see what they've done, I'll also listen to the verification. Uh-huh. But I don't make... I will read writer introductions. I try to respond to them. I almost always read them, but less so. I don't know. Sorry, I don't find them that interesting.
Oh, no. I guess I'm listening to them to think, oh, is that a voice I'd
in really the future, listen right?
to in the future? And just, yeah, and then hit the follow button nice. With to find out, you know, what they're going to perform. Or share with us in the space. But yeah, that's why I listen to. There's this great meme on go on.
I was amazed to see the listen count on my own verification audio. Because it was like, you know, over 100 people had bothered to listen to my, you know, 12 second.
To like what, a 12 second.
But okay, I'm happy you enjoyed it, is all I can say.
Yeah. If that works for you, I can read you a recipe. Ooh, you should do that. And this is something we haven't touched on yet, but I am very aware of. And your sort of little, not, I was going to say your little side hustle. It's not a side hustle, but your other passion, it would seem, that you'd very generously share with people in this space is your love of all things bread and baking and...
So it was like sort of 50-50 for me whether to make audio porn or do a bread podcast. I'm just an amateur baker, so let me get that out there. I know nothing more about bread than anyone else. I don't do it professionally. It's completely a hobby. But it is, before I started on GWA, it was my only creative outlet at all was baking. So I bake a lot. I'm a baker of savory things. I can make a pan of brownies, but not better than, and probably much worse than most other people. But I do really, really like bread. I read about bread. I follow bread podcasts and bread YouTubers and think a lot about it. I have a library of bread books. So I'm a little bit obsessed about bread. So my Twitter handle is bread and smut, and bread comes first for a reason.
I got my priorities, people.
Exactly. So someday if I'm doxxed or if I just can't do GWA anymore, I'll just go back to bread full time.
Love it. I love it. Yeah. I'm done with the smut for today. It's a back to the bread. Yeah. Though that's I am loving sharing, and you've created some audios, right? In connection to that.
So I have one audio that is a script that I wrote about kitchen sex, because everybody likes kitchen sex. It's the best. And that takes place in the context of baking for obvious reasons. I created two podcast episodes that I just put up on my own Reddit space as, I don't know, vanity project / thank you gifts for various follower milestones. That was a lot of fun.
I'm just having a look. I've listened to both of those, but as I was going to sleep, which I hope that's okay.
Oh, it's my favorite because how I listen. People tell me I put them to sleep, it's like a compliment.
It totally is, right? Yeah. Totally is. That somebody would want me in their ears as they're going to sleep. Oh, okay. I'm here for it. Don't put a ramble fap in because I get loud.
Exactly.
Just saying. But so I'm having a looking at your scripts and your audios in your archive at the moment. I notice you've done one that I did. Yay. We've done the same script, His Good Girl and theirs too.
Oh, it's a narrative. Because
you've also done some. Yeah, I
was just trying to figure out how that could possibly be that we recorded the same script. That was a good script.
Yeah,
that really was well written.
Reads.
Yeah,
Reads does. Oh, she's amazing. Yeah.
I did a series of five narratives as bedtime stories. Incredibly,
Yes,
I
I
call them my
remember.
incredibly unpopular bedtime story series because they weren't widely listened to. People don't gravitate to narrative on GWA, sadly.
It's a shame,
Yeah.
I think. I think that's an absolute travesty because I really enjoy listening to. I've listened to your
Oh,
five,
thank you.
and yeah, because I just enjoy it. I think it comes back to that sort of meditative sort of effect they can have
Absolutely.
on us, perhaps.
So they
Yeah.
weren't widely listened to, but people listen to them. But the people that do like them are passionate, like you. They're passionate about them. And so I really enjoyed that. I have a narrative project for 2022. I stopped the bedtime stories. I did five and that was it. But I wrote a whole novella in October and November, and it's in 14 chapters, so I'm gonna put it out on
Lovely.
GWA chapter by chapter.
Oh, lovely.
I don't expect
Oh, I'm going to sleep well after hearing.
a lot of people are gonna listen, but I hope that the people that do, that like that kind of thing, will really love it.
Yeah. It's actually me. The narratives that I've done, you're right, I agree with you. They don't seem to be, you don't get the sort of listener interactions at like the other script film I
Right.
do. But I really enjoy them.
Me
I've just
too.
recorded something recently that was so emotional, and I record in one take, cold read, upload, go, done. This particular one, I had to stop halfway through because I was so immersed in the storyline and the development. I was thinking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I had to stop because I got too emotional, and I know I was just like, this is, oh, hang on, oh no, oh no, and I yet, okay, no, stop. And I had to come back to it the next day because it was just incredibly beautiful,
Oh.
and intimate, and I know it's not going to be received. I probably shouldn't put bad juju out there, but I just don't think it's going to get the reception that I would hope it
Right.
would. But for me, and like you said, other people who listen to
You
narratives, it's an erotic short story, basically.
exactly.
Hopefully they'll
You're
appreciate
gonna
it.
hate. I have a sense now that you're gonna hate what I'm about to say, but it blows me away that you create these things. By recording them sight unseen or, with just the briefest of read through, and that you don't edit them, which means that you have performed them. When I perform, I have to redo lines all the time. I mean, the recording takes, half an hour. The editing takes hours because I'm going through each little bit and editing mistakes out. I just cannot believe your capacity to perform these things
Oh,
without errors and just stay in the character and stay in the
look, I do
moment.
make errors every now and
Yeah, but
then.
still, you
Yeah,
blow me
I don't
away.
know.
Really.
I think that's very kind of you, and I'm learning how to accept praise and not
Right?
like be self-deprecating and just go, oh yeah, no, I'm just talking to a microphone.
Exactly.
But thank you, I really appreciate that from you. It is. I have a music background, so perhaps that's part of the performance side of it. But the irony is, I never performed as a musician because I was terrified. I had awful stage fright and nerves, so I didn't like to be watched, which is ironic because I'm quite the exhibitionist now.
We're all learning about things
Yeah, I
about
didn't want to be
ourselves.
watched. Thank you, GWA, and Naughty Audio Space. But yeah, I maybe it's the sight reading, the years and years and years of sight reading as a musician that I did, proper classical study. So maybe that contributes to my ability to just read and interpret as I go. I don't know. I just kind of do it, it just happens.
It's
And
seen.
I do make
It's
mistakes.
seen and it's appreciated. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's.
Oh, Craig, what are you doing? He's saying nice things about me and I can't understand him. Okay. Oh, okay.
I
Yes,
said
go
that
on.
it's seen and it's appreciated.
Oh, this is, I love sitting down with people and getting to know them and their process and how they get to a point where they're comfortable sharing in this space. Do you, in terms of interactions with not other creators, but with listeners, as a male person who speaks into a microphone, have you had any issues with that, or has that, you know, have you, I mean, in terms of that, I'm saying, you know, as female in this space, obviously unsolicited pics and comments and overzealous comments too. Like, I don't need to know how many times, but, you know, thanks for listening. I'm proud of you. but have you had any sort of untoward attention, or have you set your boundaries, you know, quite clearly? And
it's completely clear to me that it is harder to be a woman in this space than a man, for all kinds of social and gendered reasons. Yeah. But that's not to say there are no challenges when you're a man. They're just different. They're different challenges.
I agree.
The things that I worry about aren't... I mean, I get overly aggressive listeners, and it's fine, because even the most overly aggressive listeners, at least for me, and I think probably for most men, don't come across in a threatening way like they might if you're a woman hearing from men. But the things that I worry about are engaging with underage people that I don't know they're engaged. Uh-huh. I don't know they're underaged. Also, like you, I'm all partnered up. I'm not looking. Pinned a post up once I started recording, just sort of laying out what my expectations were, because I love to hear from people and I don't want to discourage anyone from talking to me. And the people that do get in touch with me are amazing. I mean, I love them. But I don't want to give anyone the impression that I'm here to start a romance with them, because I'm not. So I pinned a post up. I said, you know, just to make it clear, don't send me pictures. Not that anybody was, dying to send me pictures, but just in case, I said, do talk to me, tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like, tell me what you want to see more of. That's all cool. If I'm sometimes a little flirty, don't think that I'm trying to initiate a romance with you. And that seemed to work really well. Yeah. A friend of mine also suggested putting up in my bio that I'm partnered, which I hadn't done. It hadn't occurred to me. That seemed to help a bit too. I get very little inappropriate interaction now. I'm also pretty cautious, maybe overcautious. When I talk to female performers, as a performer myself, I try to keep it very professional, just not to give anybody a misimpression. I did recently start engaging with the Not Safe for Work space on Twitter. I'm careful not to comment on people's pictures. I like your pictures. I just don't want to, make it weird. So... I try really hard to keep it, it's fun, it's a hobby, and it's a sexualized hobby, which is all cool, but I just try to make sure that the boundaries are clear and that I'm not giving anybody misimpressions. But the risks are still there. You know, I could get pics from somebody that's underage. I would never know it. I just have to keep being vigilant. I always try... I like to think that I'm making content for adults, not just adults, not over 18, but, mature people. Yeah,
mature.
And hopefully that comes across. And so far, it's all been good. Very, very few things I felt uncomfortable or weird about.
That's really encouraging to hear. Because I think before I started contributing to the space, I did feel like there was a bit of an us and them mentality, them as listeners and us as creators, and I was on the other side of that, and just thought, in this space, but given the nature of it, it's easy to misinterpret and perhaps read more into things that are there, and that whole parasocial relationship development with that VA that you've heard masturbate and orgasm, it's like they are talking to me, they really are talking to me. It's thankfully I don't get a lot of unsolicited messages, or inappropriate right. messages, or messages that I'm not comfortable with. And I'm not sure whether that's, I think it's partly, clearly I am older than your average VA. And I think I have a disposition that comes across. Well, I've been told this, it's been sort of confirmed a couple of times. Oh, talk about real life. That was one of my dogs. Barking, I don't know if you heard that. Saying that, of course people aren't going to send you inappropriate things because, you're, not professional, but, mature. I don't know. I hope that people understand, just, keep it classy.
Totally.
And if you, if you want to overshare, then if it's beyond my level of comfort, I will, sort of privately just have a quiet word with you and let you know that, it's beyond my limits of comfort or my boundaries. And I had one fellow in particular who would, every time he listened, he would privately message me and very, give me a very detailed account of how much he enjoyed listening to a particular audio. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what, darling? I'm going to high five you after you wash your hands and just say, go yeah, you.
But
that's
I don't
great.
Need to know.
I'm happy for you. Objective achieved, but yeah, that's cool. Too much information. And then those ones that want me to be their mummy. I get a lot of
I'm sure
I
you
do.
Do.
Get a lot of that. It's.
I'm sure you do.
Like, will you be my mummy? I said, no, you already got a mummy. I'm pretty sure you're yes. here. You got a mummy. It's not me. But thank you for listening. I'm really grateful that you do.
So I try to.
No, darling, I'm not your mummy.
I try to glance at every.
it's very sweet.
It is. I try to glance at every profile of a new follower. Yeah. I mean, you probably can't. That's not sustainable. But I've only got 1,500. It's not that many people over several months to look at every profile. So I glance at everyone. I've had to block two new followers because when I glanced at the profile, the very first posts were indicators. I mean, you never can know, but indicators that they were underage. So I'm kind of vigilant about that.
Oh, right. I've often wondered that. Is that what you do? Because I'm like, how do I know? If I ask them, they're not going to say,
no,
yeah,
but
I'm 14
if you
years
click
old.
On their profile and the first, comment they have is under our teenagers, how old is everyone here? And they say 17, then you can guess they're probably not 18. Or
yeah,
even if they are 18 and just plain 17, it's not worth it. I don't want to know. So I feel free to block people, not because I don't like them, but just, because it is an 18 plus space and we have to be careful to protect people that aren't over 18.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's not something I've... and perhaps I need to review this whole space and my followers. I don't quite know how to... Yeah, like you say.
I think that would be a hell of an undertaking for you.
And then you
get
down to Reddit.
don't you have 8,000?
Well, 6 and a bit. But that's on Reddit, and blocking them does nothing.
No.
On Reddit, right? So, which is Reddit gods,
yes,
get on that,
really?
please. And also, while we're having a chat, Reddit gods, can you enable the ability in a chat that it can be edited?
Right,
because
it drives me crazy.
I hate misspelling things. I would much rather that than being able to put
an image,
add a photo to something. And on that, adding a photo, not cool.
No, why
not
would
cool,
they do that?
Because one of the only dick pics I've got was just out of the blue. Here's my penis. I'm like, yeah. Congratulations, bye bye. It's just no. So Reddit gods, take note. Here ended the rant. But on Twitter, not so many followers. I'm not very active on there. But I guess that's something I could easily sort of overhaul and have a look.
Yeah,
at.
I think it's a big ask. It's only advice. I'm only able to do it because I did it from the beginning, or something I thought about early on.
Keep up
so if I get maybe on average 10 people a day following me, it's possible to look at 10 profiles. It's probably not possible to look at 6,000.
I think this is probably a good space to let you go and back into your real world. Real
I don't even
life,
want to think about real life.
As much as I adore talking
yes,
with you.
It's been really fun. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I love getting to know people who are like-minded and finding out, you know, what works for you and what your process is and what motivates you and what inspires you, because it's other creators in this space that inspire and motivate me. So thank you for sharing today with me. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have, had a bit of a laugh.
You know, I really...
I'll be sure to put an audio track behind another, you know, a music track behind another audio.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I'm terribly flattered that you would even ask me. Thank you. And yeah, I also really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
It was a blast. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. I'll see you later then. Yeah. Take care.